Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, where we chat to inspiring women about their successes and challenges to help us in our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Buki Papillon. Hello and welcome, Buki.
Hi, Nikki. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure. It's lovely to talk to you. Welcome, Buki. Buki is an author who describes herself as a wife, daughter, sister, friend, massage therapist, bead artist, and previously a travel advisor, events host, and a chef on her social platforms. Goodness me, you've got a lot of strings to your bow, Buki. So where have you been in lockdown?
In lockdown, I've pretty much been here. I live just outside of Boston in Somerville, but really the Boston area. And I've not been able to do my usual sort of everyday work outside of writing, which is being a massage therapist, because that is really close quarters work. So I've been home, I've been writing, I've been preparing for the launch of my book, An Ordinary Wonder, and I've been just trying to get on with it the best I can, like all of us.
Well done you. Wow. So are you near the ocean in Boston, in America, anywhere that you can go for walks and things?
Yes, I love actual rambling. I wouldn't say what I do is hiking, because I'm not, like, you know, with all the gear and everything, but I like to go walk in nature, and I'm really near many good trails. So I go out and do a bit of walking when I can. And Somerville, Cambridge is really lovely. So just walking around in the Cambridge area, in the neighborhoods, and looking at the houses, especially during the holidays when it was all decorated and lit up and all of that, it was really nice. So those are the things that I do to cheer myself up.
Oh, I know, we're all needing to cheer ourselves up, aren't we, in terms of it's been a very, very long time. I don't know how bad it is in America. I mean, we're in full lockdown still here. Have you had any amazing life-changing situations in lockdown, any poignant resolutions or anything? We're not in control of very much, are we? But
no, we aren't. And but one thing, I mean, if I've had an epiphany during this lockdown, it's been really that literally you only have now. So live now. Do your living in this moment, because that is all that you're guaranteed, this very moment you're in. And, you know, to just take things as they come, really, because we sort of woke up one day and, you know, grabbed our little toes and we're like, oh, what's that thing over there? And it's like, oh, that's my toe. Oh, I am. I exist. And so, you know, one day we were, we still are, and one day we won't be. So enjoy it. Just, you know, make the best of it.
That's very wise, Buki. I think we've all found that, isn't there? That it's pointless planning anything, controlling anything. All we can do is be grateful to wake up every morning and have today, as you say, and think, what are we going to do with it? And to slow down and be centered. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of blessings have come from it as well. And writing certainly must have helped you. You know, I know you get inspiration from that because you have long, cold winters out there in Boston, don't you? I think it's even colder than England, isn't it? Isn't it freezing from December to March for you?
It is. I mean, we've had that snowfall where we had to bring out the wheelbarrow. So I know. I'll explain in a minute. So what it is we have this long, narrow driveway in my house and not a whole lot of space to put the snow. And all of that snow you shovel has to go somewhere. So what we do, my husband and I, is one day we lit upon the idea that we're just going to bring out the wheelbarrow that we use, you know, to clean out the garden during the summer, you know. And so we just shovel. One of us does the shoveling of the snow into the wheelbarrow. The other person takes it all the way to the back of the house and empties it. So we've had a wheelbarrow winter. That's what I call it.
Wow. Gosh, good teamwork, though. Well done. Yeah, I mean, we had a bit of an occasion fleetingly in the UK where we had almost wheelbarrow snow that none of us were used to. It was so deep and we didn't really know what to do. So you're all very wised up over there. And but so writing must have really helped you.
Writing is like breathing for me. I can't not write. If I don't write, I don't know what I'll do with all the thoughts in my head.
So because, as you say, massage therapy went out the window, you do bead artist work as well, don't you? And cooking, and those must be all calming techniques to try and manage your stress in lockdown, are they?
Yes, those all help. The bead work is, it's really like zen can work because those beads are really, really tiny. They're like 1 millimeter beads, and you have to pick each one and then string it onto. I use a bead loom, a really big bead loom, and then I just string it night, and then watching the patterns come out, and it's really focused work. So while I'm doing that, I can't think of anything else, and that really, really calms me.
You need to be running courses on that for all of us
I think there are people who are much more accomplished than me doing
Oh, I
that.
envy you, but you are an accomplished chef as well. You're not just a cook, are you? You're actually a chef.
Leslie speaking.
Oh, then what do you create then?
I cook everything. I cook Chinese food, I cook French food, I cook Nigerian food, I cook British food. So when I had a job that I did at Stanford University at the International Center, where I was organizing events for up to 100 people at a time,
Wow.
and I would organize and cook 3-course dinners, all 100 people, yes,
Oh my word. Gosh,
with
that
the
is
help of a few
significant.
friends.
Wow. So even though you've been snowed in, you've been creating some fabulous meals. I envy your lifestyle there. But you were previously in the UK, weren't you? You studied law at the University of Hull, but you were born in Nigeria. So how old were you when you left Nigeria?
Oh, I was really young. I was in my very early 20s.
Oh, okay, but you did live your childhood there, so you are used to much warmer weather.
I was used to much warmer weather, and I went to Hull, University of Hull, and in up north, that far up north, the winters can be really cold, and the wind especially was something I wasn't used to. I remember arriving, and I had only open shoes, like shoes you'd wear in a tropical place. And because I literally landed and then had to figure out how to get from London and get on that train to Doncaster, and then get up from Doncaster to Hull, all on my own, first time ever in the
Wow.
UK.
In your open-toed shoes. Oh, that's a brilliant picture, isn't it? And yes, you very quickly got some warmer shoes for there. But what a fabulous name you've got as well, Buki. And I hope I've pronounced it right. And Papillon. Obviously, that's the French descent, then, is it, in Nigeria for your name?
No, that
No,
is my
not.
husband. I met him in Hull all those years ago. We've been married a long time. I met him in Hull. I was moving boxes. I was a student, and I was moving dorms, and I was carrying all these boxes. And this young man just said, "Oh, can I help you with your boxes?" And I said, "Sure, thank you." And he helped me carry my boxes to my room. Then he just stood around and said, chatting, and then he showed up the next day. The
And
rest
that
is history.
was fantastic. So he obviously likes the practical side of you carrying boxes and wheelbarrows and everything, and likes helping you.
We're co-partners in the carrying of things, something like.
He likes to be helpful and hands-on. Good for him. We'll give him a shout out there. So I love the names, your name, and you have folklores and tales in the book that we'll come on to talk about in a minute. But you graduated with an MFA, a Master's in Creative Writing, and have received fellowships to the Key West Literary Seminars and the Vermont Studio Centre, and awarded a scholarship by the Fine Arts Work Centre, which is brilliant. You must be so proud of what you've achieved with your writing. Was that something you always wanted to do as a child?
I always read a lot as a child. I would prop a book up in front of my lunch, my dinner, my breakfast. I would read with a touchlight
Oh,
under the
wow.
sheet. That was the child I was. So I think and then when I was in school, I went to a boarding school, and sometimes when maybe on really hot nights, we'd drag our mattresses out onto the quadrangle, and then we'd tell stories and fall asleep there. But there were always designated storytellers, and I was one of those that everyone just wanted to hear my stories. So
Brilliant. And this is in Nigeria.
that was in Nigeria growing
Wow.
up.
Wow. Under the stars, you were telling everyone stories.
Yes, I was telling stories long ago, but I didn't. And then when I was about 12, I think, my literature teacher gave me a thesaurus, and it was the first time I'd ever seen. I didn't even know it existed, and so I was amazed. I read it like a book. I read that thesaurus from
Wow.
A to Z, because I just could not believe how many words there were in the world and how beautiful they all were. And so I wrote a poem after that to read on the school stage. And that was it, really, as far as writing. I mean, I didn't think of myself as a writer until many years later, until the US, really.
But you've obviously had that passion, though, for it. Oh, fantastic. And we're going to talk about your first book, your debut book. I mean, how exciting is that? It's called An Ordinary Wonder. Congratulations, first of all. Very exciting. And it's out the end of March in the UK. Is it out simultaneously in America?
It is out on the 25th of March in the UK. It is out in America much later in the year.
Wow, so it's coming into Britain first. So you're one of the only few people that had fabulous news in lockdown then, in terms of you didn't just write it in lockdown. You'd written it before, had you? And then it became published while you were in lockdown.
Yes. It was supposed to actually have been published earlier, but because of COVID and everything, it got pushed back to being published in March. But yes, I wrote it years ago. And it sort of came out of another book. So I've been writing for a long time in terms of just all the outputs that I've sort of things I've put out there since my MFA. But this book sort of started as another book, and then that about 70 or 80% of that other book got thrown out, and the remaining, I brought that in, cut it up, put it all on the floor, looked at what I had in literal pieces of paper, and then started from scratch and wrote the book it needed to be, which wow. is An Ordinary Wonder.
So it wasn't an ordinary wonder, it was a fabulous wonder. And it's a story of the courage needed to be yourself.
So An Ordinary Wonder is about an intersex twin born in Nigeria who knows in her heart that she's a girl, but is being raised by as a boy by her cruel family. And all the things that happen put her relationship with her sister in jeopardy. And so she has to figure out how to have the life that she wants while dealing with all the other things that are happening around her. And she's also really smart and funny.
Brilliant. So you've been described in a review from Cosmopolitan magazine as tender and moving. Others say it shows courage, hope and optimism. So your character Otto is a twin and left a troubled childhood, as you say. It's set in Nigeria where you grow up, and it's a powerful coming of age story, isn't it, really, with complex desires and challenges.
It is really about how to find the courage to say no to what you've been told should be. So yes, finding the courage to say no to what you've been told is how you should be and how things should be and how life should be, when you know in your heart that that is not the way you want to go through life. And especially when it is something as fundamental as a person's sense of self and their gender. This is really so basic. I call it a fundamental human sorting system, because when you meet a person, the first things that we do immediately without even thinking about it is we categorize them. We height, weight, basically we're trying to figure out, is this a safe person or is this not a safe person? This is our first instinct on meeting people. And this goes right back to our primitive brains. This is why we've survived as a species. When something as deep-seated within the way human beings are as gender gets challenged, where the human response is not always what it should be. And so I think in some ways we're learning, we're growing as a species towards a place where we can actually start to understand that gender is something that is a construct and that it should not matter how a person wants to be, that what we need to engage with is the human person themselves. And so there is, I put proverbs in everything because Nigerian proverbs, Yoruba proverbs especially, are a particular love of mine. So one of my favorite proverbs, because I use them to illustrate everything in my life, I feel as if the wisdom of proverbs really helps me get through life. And so there's quite a bit of that in An Ordinary Wonder. So there is this proverb that says, a leopard is chasing us, and you're asking whether it's a male or female. And that just to me underlines everything. So there's so much other important, vital things going on in the world. So many things we have to address, like climate change and so on. And so why should it matter whether a person wants to be addressed as he, she, whatever else they want to be addressed as, or Z or here, or so that is sort of the point of that whole proverb is, you know, there are so many other things happening in the world that merit our attention, other than maybe what consenting adults are doing, in their own privacy, or so, yeah.
Brilliant. So it's saying be kind and understanding to someone's identity, their gender, their culture, and what it means to them to feel whole and to accept that, really. So it's got richly imagined with art and proverbs, as you say, and folk tales, and moving and very modern novel following her heartbreak. So from Publishers Dialogue Books and Little Brown, it's got a beautiful cover with vibrant African art, really, hasn't it? And a silhouette. Now, I saw online you've been doing online book promotions rather than in bookstores, and that's how I found you, actually. I saw an advert because you're about to speak, aren't you, to the English audience. So you can have a, and it's a night in with you, isn't it, as a live lounge. So you can stay in America and visit your readers and launch it in that way, which is quite exciting for your first book, isn't it? So, wow. So, how does that feel to be doing a live lounge?
Oh, it feels great. It's with Fame Productions, and I'm really excited for it to go out in the world and for people to get to know more about my journey towards writing An Ordinary Wonder and just and get more get to know more about how it came to be. And so yeah, and doing things in lockdown has been so different and really interesting.
Because were you going to get on a plane and come over for the book launch? Yes, and now you can't. So you're literally bringing your fans into your home, really. It's fascinating. You'll look back and just see how far you've come. Amazing. Now, I saw in the review copy it said the dedication to your book is still to come. Is that a surprise, or is that someone we can mention?
Oh, it is right here, because I have the actual finished.
You've got the actual one there. Oh, can I see? We must put a photo of that. Oh, isn't that beautiful? It must be so special just to hold it in your hand.
It is amazing. I mean, I sort of just burst into tears.
Of course you did. Of course, it's very moving. It's your baby, isn't it, that you've and who have you dedicated it to then at the front of it? Because the review one obviously hadn't then.
Yeah, it says for Julian, that's my husband. For Margaret and Samuel Olajide, those are my parents. For Mubo, Jumoke, Muyiwa, and Molara, you are my beating heart. And Mubo, Jumoke, Muyiwa, and Molara are my siblings. So those are the
Oh,
people I
that's
love most
beautiful.
in the world.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, they'll love that. Oh, I hope this is a surprise. They can listen to this. And I love the Nigerian sentence in the front of your book that translates as, "Hey, child of the silver rivers, restay offspring of the morning light, be well, daughter who dances to the beat of waves." Can you say that in Nigerian?
I'm going to surprise you. I'm actually going to sing it.
Oh, wow. Get that.
I hope my voice is not too awful. It is actually a song. It's an old, very, very old traditional Yoruba song. And so it's got the Yoruba translation on top, and it's got the English words at the bottom. So in Yoruba, it's Hey, omo mi mole. Duro ọmọ olówùrọ pẹlẹ o ọmọ alùpùpù.
Oh, that was, you surprised me there. And I couldn't even understand, read it. So that's fabulous. Now, you've obviously got a copy there. And I was going to ask you if you wouldn't mind going to page one when your character is now aged 14 and read from Wura and I are twins to the end of the page there, please.
Wura and I are twins. Like all other Yoruba twins that have ever been born, we should be called Taiwo and Kende, the one who came first and the one who lagged behind. Even in this, our natural names, our parents kept us apart. Otolorin, one who walks a different path, and Wuraola, a wealth of gold. Wura is everything to our mother, who will never have any other children because she is the woman who birthed the unspeakable. And my father has no desire to sire any more monsters. Here in Nigeria, the road ends at my secret. But America, they say, is a land where wonders are created and the wondrous is made ordinary. Now that I have wedged one foot onto that path, I am determined to make it all the way. Because if I do, perhaps I too can become an ordinary wonder.
Oh, that's lovely. And lovely hearing it with you reading it from your special book and obviously with the title and the meaning behind that. So that's lovely and that's really special for our listeners. Thank you. So you live in America, the land, as you say, where wonders are created and the wondrous made ordinary. Is that how you feel then?
Yes.
It's made your dreams come true, hasn't it? And so many people in the movies go to America to make their dreams come true, but yours has, hasn't it?
It has. And I sort of came... It's funny because I didn't specifically dream about coming to America, but I dreamt of coming, of being in a land where I could really be myself as much as I could. And I didn't have a specific picture that it was America, but in many ways, being here, I've realized that, yes, there is a certain energy to being here where you can literally reinvent yourself. You can be whoever you want to be in many ways. And that is a quality, I think, that draws people to America from all over the world.
Definitely. Oh, how exciting is that? And other exciting news, as I read, the audiobook will be read by the actress Lady Danbury. Did you see that fabulous show, Bridgerton, on Netflix that we were all addicted to? And we won't tell anyone why.
Yeah.
And how did that come about? Bridgerton star Adjoa Ando is going to read your audiobook by Buki Papillon. How fabulous is that? Isn't that exciting?
It is the most exciting news I ever heard, apart from actually that my own book is going to be published. So yeah, when I found out, I just watched Bridgerton, strangely, and I watched it in 2 days. I inhaled, like everyone else. No, I inhaled it. And like you said, for reasons that we're not going to elaborate.
But literally, Adjoa's many film and TV roles include Doctor Who and Adulthood. She directed and starred in Richard II, the first ever company of women of colour in a Shakespeare play on a major UK stage. And in Bridgerton, she had such incredible outfits, didn't she? And her hats. And she was just amazing. Yeah, she acted it really beautifully, didn't she?
She was gorgeous. She was just amazing. And at the time I watched Bridgerton, I didn't know that she was going to be reading my book. So
really?
I found out afterwards. Yeah.
And they surprised you. They just suddenly said, we found someone to read your book.
And they surprised me. They were just like, oh yeah, it's Adjoa reading your book. And I was like, oh my God, which Adjoa?
Picked yourself up off the floor. Oh my goodness, your life is just taking off. Oh, what a shame you can't come here, but you will come here in the future and it won't be that far away and you can do another tour, I'm sure.
What I wanted specifically to add about Adjoa is that after I found out that she was reading my book, I'd gone and watched her TED Talks. She has TED Talks and also she's really, really out there. And I discovered that her son is transgender, which really is so amazing. And she is, and she has a
with your story.
Amazingly so. And her son, and she, her TED Talk is actually partly about her son. So she's pretty open about it. And her support for him is so amazing to see. It is so beautiful.
And that
just really warmed my heart.
Oh, well, I'll tell people to watch that because actually I watched a YouTube on her last night with her wisdom and she was talking to her younger self and she said this beautiful line, which I'll just read here, that said, that having examined your heart and this is your thing, go do your thing. Check if this is really what you want to do. Go for it with all your heart and soul. Live with what you really want to do. Listen to your own instinct as a human being, because instincts will always be on point. And I thought that was lovely, because she said everything is and should be powered from a place of love. And I think that good things happen, don't they, when you do, you know, think and act in that way. And I thought that was beautiful.
I agree completely. She is so wise.
Oh, and one day you'll meet her as well, won't you? I'm sure you will.
Oh, I hope so. That would be absolutely amazing.
We'll do a shout out to her, Ajwa. We need a reunion here with Buki and I. So that's brilliant. We'll get the whole Bridgerton lot along. Yes, that would be very nice. And she also said, not everyone gets to tell their story. So you and I are very blessed with that. And she said, don't be crappy to people, be kind, because one day they'll be your producer or whatever. And you think, that's so weird, isn't it, with karma and things, the way things happen. That was brilliant. Now, this podcast likes to help others with overcoming their own struggles and adversity by sharing stories to lift, inspire and motivate them. And we haven't talked about this before, but is there anything you'd like to share that you have thrived and survived from?
Yes, I grew up. When I was growing up, we moved quite a bit. So I changed schools quite a bit. And it wasn't easy always being the new kid and figuring things out. And so that left me with a little bit of anxiety. So that sort of still informs a lot of things, the way I am, especially then I moved from Nigeria to the UK, and then my husband and I moved around in the north quite a bit. And then we moved from Hull to York to Leeds. And then from Leeds, we moved to the US, to California, which I absolutely loved. I never wanted to leave California ever. I was in heaven. And then we moved here to Boston. It was cold and I was miserable. And so it took me a long time to figure out who I am, I think, and to figure out how to be in all of these different places. So I think what I would say to anyone, to uplift anyone who finds themselves in a new place and alone and lonely, like I was. I mean, when we moved to Boston, I wasn't even allowed to work because of the visa we had at the time. So I couldn't even meet people through work or anything. I was just alone by myself in this new place while my husband went off to work. And so I had to sort of figure out what to do. And what I did was volunteer, try and meet people, get out there, do things, which was how also I got my position that I got in Stanford, was that I went out and I volunteered and I helped with the United Nations store there. And so doing that helped me meet people and helped me figure out things like just where to go. Sometimes just the most basic thing, like where the chemists are and so on. You have to sort of learn everything from scratch. So I would say be brave, go out there, volunteer, talk to people, try and meditate. That helps as well. And just try and become part of a new place and look forward to good things happening to you, because they will. And it can be really tough to find yourself alone and to have no friends and to keep, you know, packing up and leaving people behind. Now, that's the really tough bit, leaving people behind, trying to keep up with all of your relationships for all the people that you've loved and left. And so it's this thing of just being able to figure out who you are in each new place that you're in, especially for me as a Black woman, figuring out how to be a Black woman in the UK, figuring out how to be a Black woman in France, where my husband is from, figuring out how to be a Black woman in America, which was really a journey, because when I arrived here, I was me. I just went out and was me. But I then began to understand that being Black in America is a whole different, a whole different kettle of fish to being Black anywhere else, because there's such a history in this country, which again is what is giving rise to the Black Lives Matter movement, just because we're just trying to change that narrative and trying to, I think the best thing I can do is give an example, maybe tell a story. When the Boston bombing happened, the Boston Marathon bombing, we're all really rattled. And of course, we're all sad. And then I had to go and take the train in because I needed to go to Harvard Square. I had to go take the train to Cambridge. And so I got on the train. There were police everywhere. There was a massive paramilitary presence everywhere. It was so frightening. And I got on the train and I got to Harvard Square. And I got out of the train. And normally you'd put your card on the turnstile and then pass through. But all the turnstiles had been left wide open. And you know how those gaps are only wide enough to let a person through? Beside each turnstile was a heavily armed paramilitary man. And you had to squeeze through. I walked towards that turnstile, and the man who was standing at the turnstile that was directly in front of me was just staring so hard at me all the way from the train, all the way through that turnstile. I could feel that stare going all the way. And then the elevator to get out of the station is really long. My legs were shaking so hard. I was thinking, do not fall down. And the difference was there were people who walked ahead of me and behind me, and he was not staring at them in that way. So those are the sorts of things that you sort of have to handle and deal with in to greater or lesser extents.
Thank you, gosh, for sharing. I'm sorry you went through such a sounds like a very traumatic and frightening experience for you, and I'm really sorry that you went through that. And thank you for sharing about loneliness and about anxiety, which a lot of people in lockdown are struggling with, and being separated and saying goodbye or being removed from people they love and not being able to see them. So I think some of those words and you know, those important issues that you raised, thank goodness, have come to the surface, along with a lot of other really important issues this year, have in the peace and stillness and the quietness, a lot of really important issues have come out that are thankfully now being addressed. And if anybody, you know, is troubled by any of this, then we would urge them to share that and to seek help and support with that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So with your passions, you mentioned you like taking long rambles in nature and you like cooking and epic levels of reading. How much is epic levels of reading then?
Oh, epic. I usually have about 3 books on the go.
Actually, yes, I'm rather similar actually. And do you have a mantra for how you live your life? I know you love your proverbs and a lot of those are reflected in the book. Is there one that really resonates in how you live your life?
Oh, if there's a proverb that reflects, yes, actually, there is one that comes to mind immediately. And it is, the sky is big enough for all the birds to fly without touching wings, which means there's enough for everybody. And it's better to be kind and to share and to be generous and to know that, and to not come from a place of, to not operate from a place of lack and operate from a place of generosity and kindness and believing that there is enough to go around of anything, of all resources, there is enough for everybody. And so share generously, be kind, give with an open heart. And just in general, I would say the other thing that I live by is basically hang tight no matter what is happening. Never give up. Tomorrow is another day. And you can only ever see as far as your headlights, which is essentially the moment you're in right now. And even if things are terrible and you've sort of sunk to the bottom and you just want to give up, look for the nearest little pinprick of light and then fasten your eyes on it. And no matter what, don't look away from that. And then, you know, intentionally invite that light to fill you up and do that constantly, that little bit of light, and it'll grow and grow and grow. And one day, you know, you'll look around and things will be okay again.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. No wonder they love those stories at your boarding school there in Nigeria, with those, the lovely way from the thesaurus that you absorbed as a child, that all those lovely words and thoughts come back out, which is really lovely. Thank you. So what are your next plans then, Buki, to celebrate your book launch in the UK and America? How have you celebrated yet, or are you going to wait until the end of March?
I'm going to wait until the end of March. I've celebrated a little. I mean, when my books arrived, my husband rushed out and bought the champagne.
Oh, he sounds lovely. And what are you going to do at the end of March? You're going to be in your live lounge talking to all your readers and your future people that want to meet you, and your audiobook will be coming out and you'll be meeting all these celebrities. So you've got a lot of excitement ahead of you. Is that your next, that's your next plan?
That sounds good. I think that's more or less it, yes.
So we will join together at a publishing and Bridgerton party then, and see you over here one day.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. I'll look forward to it.
So will I.
Bless you. And when does lockdown lift in America? Have you got any dates?
Not at the moment. I think the president said something about a 4th of July celebration being a lockdown.
Oh, no. Oh,
lifting.
Oh, lockdown lifting on Independence Day or not?
Yes. I'm not sure I've put it correctly, but that is more or less that he's hoping.
Your new president announced that. That's a lovely thing to aim for, isn't it? Independence Day. And how relevant is that? How free and independent you'll all feel. Oh, lovely. And any other thoughts then?
Yeah, it's just been really lovely to be with you. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this very much. It's a great podcast.
I've really enjoyed it too. You see, you started off a little bit anxious and not sure what was ahead of you, didn't you? And we lived in the now and we had fun. And I've loved hearing your words, and hearing you read that book was really special, and talking about your childhood and supporting, you know, people that haven't been supported in across all fronts. That's been really special. So thank you so much to you, Buki Papillon, for your inspiration, and to your husband for his kindness, and good luck with your new book. And thank you for sharing your truth and for helping so many underrepresented people being true to themselves with their gender, their race, their culture, and everything that they feel that goes with it, and for your kindness and generosity for making everyone all the happier for it. And thank you for your wisdom and your proverbs and the tales you've told today. I'm sure our listeners will love it, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's been wonderful to be with you.
The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman and audio produced by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free on all podcasting platforms to hear our real-life stories out every other Tuesday.